Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody doing? Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I have to be very careful how I say this. There was an introduction by the United States Senator, Paul Simon, who's passed away now, but this was back in the day. And it was about the agendas. That's all I can say now. I've told you guys a lot about it, but this is a quote so you can understand to connect the dots of what's happening in our world. And this is a quote. Now, this is the other thing I found. I have a whole file on these agendas. I've been studying this since, 2015. And you can't find these anymore. A lot of this stuff is gone. It is gone. But I pull out my notes and I share what I can. But this is the Earth Summit strategy. And it was the United States Senator Paul Simon who said, to be successful, now he's talking to a group of his own people, and this is a quote from him, to be successful, a concern for the environment must be integrated into every human action and every personal decision. What we manufacture, what we buy, what we wear, how we travel, what we eat, who we chose as leaders. Every single human action has an impact on the environment and also on the people. This is how we make these agendas successful. And what does that mean to me? It talks about Romans 1, how they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. So here we're going green, folks, and it's been in the plans for a long time. The senator has passed away now, but many people don't realize that this whole green thing is exactly what he says. Let me say it again. In order to be successful, a concern for the environment must be integrated into every human action and every personal decision. What we manufacture, what we buy, in other words, your carbon footprint, what we wear, how we travel, what we eat, who we choose as leaders. Every single human action has an impact on the environment and also on the people. This is how we make this agenda successful. So this has been adopted almost it's been in every city council. You try to change things, right? You are at the city council meetings. If you don't go along with their plans, you don't get federal funding, right? So what does all this mean? That the Bible's true, 2 Timothy, here we are. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We talked about that last week. That word perilous there means wild, fierce, dangerous, wicked, demonic. Or you could say burn back better. I'll leave it there. Yes, these are agendas and plans. And I'm sorry for the people that don't realize that these are plans that have been hidden, but now they're coming out into the light. And their words make some of these things sound so wonderful, but it's a word salad. Words are changed, and it's very tricky. But what the Bible says is true on all these different things, that we're living in the perilous times, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, on and on it goes. The one I want to point out, and I was talking about last week, is lovers of themselves. And I want to continue on this. And Psalms 2 really is where we're living today. If you want to go and look and see, we've quoted that many times, but Psalms 2, they're coming against the Lord and His anointed and against everything God created. And we're the generation that are seeing a lot of changes. Sometimes you can go for years and years and see not very many changes, but we're seeing a lot of changes. And we're starting to see that the Bible says if we lose our life, we shall find it. But for those who save their lives, they're going to lose it. And these merchants of the earth, they want to save their lives. They want to extend their lives. They want to take all the resources for themselves. It says so in the Bible about the merchants of the earth. And they want to save their life. They want to go into their bunkers. They want the underground. I mean, if you haven't seen that, this all their plans have been coming out. Used to be kind of secretive, but now they're even kind of talking about it, because what do they know that we don't know? And I know a pastor that has been building an underground bunker. And someone I know says, what do they know that we don't know? And he knew actually some people that worked on it. So, I mean, these things are happening. And what do? We're not afraid, because vengeance is the Lord's. And guess what? Their bunkers aren't going to save them. And no matter what they plan for, they're trying to save their lives. They're going to lose it. And we have lost our life in Christ, and ours is going to be saved. So lovers of themselves, the merchants of the earth, the great men of the earth, the Bible calls it, they seduce. All the nations were deceived by their sorceries, so the witchcraft. Now, we think that that did not enter the church. But what I want to share with you in our session today is this has happened and has been in our churches. The lovers of self has crept in, and it's here, folks. It's in the church. Good luck trying to find a church that really preaches the Bible anymore. And how do you get out from being deceived? Read your Bible. Because you either have to listen to these men and what they're saying, or you have to read your Bible, which tells you all the things that are going to happen and that are happening. But we have been conditioned not to read our Bibles, but to listen to the leader and what he says about the Bible. So to unlearn this, we're going to have to re-educate ourselves, be honest and admit we were deceived, and be honest and trustworthy, truth-telling. We have nothing to hide, because we were sinners. We all missed it. We made mistakes. But these lovers of themselves in these new doctrines, another gospel that's come into the church, is totally different. And it's been subtle. But I want to share some things about that. Self is on the throne, and it's all about me. The humanists declare no deity will save us, so we have to save ourselves. And that's basically what they believe, that man is God. And they have to save themselves, that man's mind. We're going to talk about the mind a little bit and why I left the prosperity gospel. I don't think I was ever really in it, but the people around me were and still are. And it's very sad, because they take a few things out of the Bible, and you're going to see where a lot of this came from tonight. But what does the Bible say? It says a little leavens the whole lump. Galatians 5:9. Leaven is a symbol of corruption and sin. You just get a little bit of that leaven. And they brought in the leaven into our churches. They brought in the tares into our churches, which should be a safe place to learn about God. Well, that's the target. They don't want you to learn about the Creator God. They want you to serve these other gods. And that's the difference between the Old Testament and the New. The Old Testament is there to tell you a lot of the practices, a lot of the gods they served, and a lot of different things. But we live under a new covenant now. I love the Old Testament, but the new is better, right? Because it's all about Jesus. So we don't live under the old covenant law, which a lot of churches are going back into all these different roots of this and that. And what is it doing? It doesn't tell you that Jesus died for you and he set you free from slavery. You're not under the law anymore. He set you free from the law. So why do these Christians go back under the law? And they go back into all these ceremonies and all these rituals. And really, they get themselves under bondage. And they're trying to save themselves again, rather than living under the grace of God, which we'll get into. But the occult means hidden. So there's a lot of things that have been hidden, and they're leavened. They come into our churches, and all of a sudden now there's different things, and we have to renew our minds, because we've been trained, we've been brainwashed, we've been told certain things. And there's a lot to unlearning. There's a lot of grieving when you thought you gave your whole life for the truth and you find out it was another gospel. But we move on. Jesus always warned us about the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Herodians. And that's the religious spirit. The Pharisees were always at war with him. And the spirit of Herod, the political systems, he's always warned us about them. And the money systems, those are the three warnings. And he took the whip and got rid of them. That's the main areas of control. They were there when Jesus lived, and they're still here today, the monetary systems. And he likens this leaven to a little bit of poison. False teaching can get into our hearts and our minds, and it increases and spreads corruption. And a lot of times you'll see these preachers, and this leaven gets in them, and they are so puffed up and arrogant. That's right away you can tell that's not a real servant of the Lord, because truth should humble us. It should humble us to the fact that we don't deserve Jesus dying for us, but he did. And so we're so thankful. And then we confess our sins. We need to be separated, set apart from what this world is doing. Even the commercials on television are just nauseating. Have a vomit bag. I mean, it's bad, right? So there's tares in our churches. So now we have the power of positive thinking, and it's not just in the church, but it's in the world. And what their whole thing is, believe in yourself. There's something called toxic positivity. I'm not going to get to that, but it's actually to the point where people are not real. They're fake. They can't talk truth. They can't share their struggles. Their funerals, they can't weep. They have to celebrate. Even if it was a sudden death, you have to be positive, you know. And what happens is that it's not healthy. It's not good for you to deny your emotions and to live a fake life, right? But how did this creep in? The phrase positive thinking came originally, from what I found, Charles Fillmore. He was born in 1854. He was a philosopher and a theologian in what we call New Thought. A true American mystic, and he founded the largest New Thought metaphysical groups in North America, and he founded the Unity Church. Now, New Thought, you think, well, we're not into New Thought. Well, the Word of Faith, the New Apostolic Reformation, all of these stem back from this, which is worldwide leaven, worldwide tares. And people will fight you because they don't want to admit that they've been deceived. It's so wonderful admitting you were deceived. There's just a freedom that comes and says, you know what, I don't have any pride. I was deceived in that. I was in that movement. I was in this. I thought prosperity was good. I thought this was good. I thought this was God. And then when you find out that this was a false doctrine, that this was coming in to lead you away from the Lord and onto yourself, because now you really don't need the Lord. You just be positive, and you just have a good attitude, and you have your words. And Luke, let's look over here at Luke. This is not new. This has been happening. Turn over there to Luke. We'll get there in a second. But this whole New Thought, what it is and why it got into our churches, now it's a mind-healing movement to understand divine mysteries through the power of their thoughts. This is New Thought. Nobody talks about New Thought, but it's still around, called New Thought. But it creeped in our churches under the name of Word of Faith. I don't even know if they call it that anymore, but now they have different groups. They're always changing their names all the time. But basically, one's thoughts could unlock secrets to cure illnesses. So if you're sick, you have to just confess, confess, confess until you're healed or you have enough faith. So you weren't in those movements. You don't realize how people were so under bondage in this. And through mind power, and also through mind power to create material success. So not just your healing, but your thoughts can heal you, and your thoughts can make you prosperous. Well, you think that's not being taught today. Just turn on your local TV preachers, and you're going to hear it. Just sow your seed to me, and you'll be rich. Sow this seed and you'll have this harvest, right? So that's not why we give. We give because we love the Lord. We want to share the truth. We don't share. It's not about us. God will bless us. He takes care of us. And we have to do our part to help others. But this whole scheme, it was a Ponzi scheme. So in 1920, the New Thought, through positive thinking, went to mainstream Christianity through the prosperity gospel. Norman Vincent Peale, identified as God's salesman for positive thinking, rooted in the idea that weakness and failure is not an option, and acknowledged you really don't need to ask God for forgiveness. See how subtle that is? It's like, oh, one of our presidents was asked that. Do you ask God forgiveness? No, I don't. I try to do better, but I don't really need. No, we need to confess. 1 John 1:9, confess our sins. That's healthy. And to say that, you know, we'll just be better. It's all about self, lovers of self, another gospel. So New Thought, what is it? It's faith is being a winner. Now you have to be a winner. If you're a Christian, you have to be a winner. You have to be prosperous. You have to be healed. You have to have everything in order. And guess what? It didn't work. It didn't even work for the preachers themselves. So they had to hide their sicknesses. They had to hide their rebellious kids. They had to hide a lot of things. And it's never good when you can't be honest, right? So now we're full of churches that are full of entertainment and positive. You got to have a positive vibe, right? God is energy. This is all part of this movement. This spirituality is a blind part of Christian science, mind science with a dash of Christian terminology. Just quote the Bible and Christians are in. We don't realize that just because someone uses terms and phrases doesn't mean it's right. It's right. True, yeah. Right? Yeah. So we're supposed to test and prove all things, but instead we've been told, don't judge. Don't judge. They take that one scripture. Don't judge. Well, we are to test and try the spirits. Otherwise, we're going to fall into a ditch. The blind lead the blind, right? So they say in their books, change your thoughts and you can change everything. The power of positive thinkers. And this is what they say, believe in yourself. So this goes back to 2 Timothy, lovers of what? Yourself. But our Bible says, have faith in God, abide in Christ, because apart from him, we can do nothing, John chapter 7. This is the human political movement. We can do all things through our mind. So what do? It's not about your heart, it's about your mind. And so what happens then is now we've made people, through the power of Christian science, under the name of faith, try to imagine things. Imagery is a big part of this whole New Thought. If you imagine it, you can have it. I used to go to conventions and they would talk about this. So now you can do it through your mind, not through Christ. There's many paths, they say. And that's where the persecution's going to come, because they're going to say all roads lead to your own God. So the driving force of another gospel is that man must be exalted. Always talking about man. Always talking about your potential, your destiny, your dreams. Words from God. Sin is not talked about because sin is now a negative self-image. And their whole movement is, the greatest need of the church today is have a positive self-image. Well, the Bible says we are to deny that self. We need Jesus. We need to pick up our cross and follow him. We're supposed to deny it. So these two thoughts, this whole movement is totally different. One teaches you need to accept Christ and realize you're a sinner. You need a Savior. The other one, you don't need a Savior. You have the power of your mind. You just need more positivity. And if you aren't positive, you're going to have what you say, so you need to be more positive. And this is their whole theology. Salvation is no longer from sin and death. It's now you were shamed, and now you have self-esteem. And the reason why you might not have had self-esteem, it's your parents' fault. It's the way they raised you. So now what do we have? We have division. And we have kids that won't talk to their parents, that they're blaming all their faults on their kids. The enemy loves to destroy families, but we're not falling for it. So the good news, which is the gospel, that we need to repent and get saved, is now God wants us to feel good about ourselves. So we're going to have services that make you feel good because you have needs, and those needs are that you need to go, you need to be entertained, you need to be really hyped up and feel good when you leave. No, we need some of those altar call services where they took out the altars years ago, but when God answered is when people cried out to him. They cried out, God, I need you. I need a savior. I can't do this in my own strength. And even today, all the stuff that's going on, what do? We need you, Lord, right? Moving over here to Luke 18. So now the church has joined the world in embracing the self-esteem movement. Now this has happened many, many, many decades ago, but it's infiltrated into the fiber of the churches, lovers of self. The enemy has targeted churches long ago because he knew, well, that's where the Christians go. So we're going to bring another gospel, another Jesus. We're going to bring positive thinking, all these different things. Self-esteem is important. We forget the word because that really doesn't do much. Don't read the Bible. I mean, that's just so boring. And, all these preachers now have to have self-help messages. So in Luke 18, we see this in verse 9. And this is kind of this lover of self right here in the Bible. It says about a parable unto certain men which trusted where? In themselves. Here again, it goes back to lovers of themselves, that they were righteous and they despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and thus prayed with himself. Here again, here's the lover of self. Here's the I decree, I declare. I can't believe how many people are into this decreeing and declaring stuff. And it's not prayer, it's commanding God, and it's commanding this whole movement here of positivity, good vibes, good energy. I leave and I feel good about myself. I am this, I am that, I am this. Look at what God says about it. The Pharisee stood and he prayed with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. There we go again of what I do. That's why I say don't get entangled under this old rituals of the Old Testament and the ceremonies and all that, because we have a new covenant now. And people don't want to see that we have Jesus now. He came and died for us, so now it's a new covenant. We live and abide in him. Our life is about him, right? It's not just about ourselves. There's certain things we have to do, but we don't put our confidence and our trust in him. Our trust is in the Lord. That's why we have peace. We have peace that passes understanding in this crazy, perilous world because we put our lives in his hands. There's no way we can save ourselves. Our trust is in God. Our timing of when we die is in God's hands. That gives us peace. Otherwise, I pray for myself. I'm going to live. I used to go to these seminars where these pastors would say, I'm going to live till I'm 120. And I said, like, are you nuts? You want to live till you're 120? That was big in the 90s. I'm going to live this long. And I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. There's such freedom in saying that. But according to these guys, that is bad. That is lack of self-esteem. So who are you going to believe? So he said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We don't trust in ourselves. We thank God for the abilities he's given us. We don't have false humility, pretend we can't do something that we can. We do what we can. We're thankful. But we don't put confidence in our flesh. because our flesh, it can go either way. You can, oh Lord, I know you want me to do this, but my flesh wants me to do this. You have to make choices every day. There's an evil world out there. There's people that are waxing evil. They're plotting the destruction of our economies and our world. They want to bring in the new system and the new order, which is really the old order and their old gods and all the things that they used to do. Just like the Bible says, it's going to happen. If you want to be blessed, just read the book of Revelation. The Bible says there's a blessing because a lot of people stay away from it, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. So the whole focus of lovers of ourselves and what's creeped into our church with this tares and this leaven is self. It's man. Man, the broad path circus. So this is a circus. God is energy. I hear a lot of people say, God is energy. What are a lot of these teachings? This is exactly what they are. They're seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Jesus' message was to call sinners to repentance. And then what do? We want to live apart from this world. If you're comfortable with what's going on in the world, I question where you're at with God. Because with this crazy world going on, it should make you vexed. It should make you vexed what they're doing to our children. It should make you vexed what's going on with our economies and how they're taxing everything and they're doing all these different things, weaponizing our weather. Oh, yeah. And there's patents out on all this stuff for you that don't want to believe it. I'm sorry, but yeah, it's gotten this wicked. And the technologies aren't just for good, they're also for evil. Because they want to bring in their new cities, their victory, freedom cities, or whatever. That means you might have to move out of the way because they want to build these. This is some of the stuff I've been talking about for a long time. So, in Luke 18:8, Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He is coming again. Jesus is coming again. He's wondering, is there going to be any faith? Because he talks about apostasy and the great falling away. But the Bible tells us what's going to characterize in the last days, as in the days of Noah. And we are living in Matthew 24 right now. What are they doing to our food? What are they doing to our farmlands? What are they doing to our meat? These are questions that you should be asking. If you're a thinker, you need to start thinking and not walk around like a fluoridized zombie. There's so many people that don't think. They don't ask. You need to ask questions. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Because what they're telling us on the news is not what's really happening. There's a hidden agenda, there's hidden plans, and there always has been. Even in the Old Testament, things have not gotten better just because we don't hear about it. Genocide, there's been stuff that's happened. History is constantly never been told. A lot of us don't really know what's really happened with a lot of people, with a lot of governments, what they're really doing to their people. But you need to wake up because the Bible talks about the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees and the tares. The tares have come into the church and the tares look like wheat. The tares have a resemblance of wheat until the harvest. And then when it's harvest time, it's bitter, you can choke on it, it's unedible, it's bad fruit. And that's the same thing with the tares in the church. They come in like they're really true believers, they look like they're really good leaders, like Diophantus and 3 John. All these different preachers came in and they became leaders, but they were tares. They tried to destroy the church. And Paul said, after he leaves, there are going to be wolves that are coming in, spiritual wolves and false prophets and teachers. Almost every book of the Bible, the New Testament, warns of false teachers. And how often do we even hear a message about false doctrine? Let me close here. Hebrews 1. This is such a good scripture here. We don't look to ourselves and organized religion for salvation. Through rituals, sacraments, meditations, good works, getting back under the law, doing all these different things. Hebrews 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's why we needed the Old Testament. God spoke through them. But he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. By his Son. So don't tell me someone needs a new covenant to get saved. Jesus already died. People are falling for this, that you don't really need, you know, there's two different covenants. One's for this group and one's for that. No, the Bible says that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free. You're one in Jesus Christ. Go look at Galatians 3:28. You are one because we have a new covenant. And Jesus died for whoever will receive him. People make it so hard. So here now he's speaking to us through his Son. Jesus is the Word, right? So he's speaking to us. We don't need another prophet to come in and give us a dream and a vision that takes us away from what the Bible says. That's what we were raised in. Oh, so-and-so had a prophetic dream, and he had seven visitations from the Lord. So when I was young, I thought, well, who's going to contradict that? Wow, I want to sit under his feet. Well, now I know those are liars. Those are all part of the New Thought movement that just passed on the New Thought messages as faith, the faith message. And guess what? They're going to have to answer to God. Whenever you teach something and you know you're going in as a wolf to deceive the truth, we can't judge them, but God will. There's going to be a day that God's going to, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this in your name and that? And he goes, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They never had a relationship with God. They were tares. They were leaven. They were lovers of themselves. They were promoting other things for other people. There's wickedness out there. Let me close. Revelations 20:10. The devil that deceiveth them, the whole world, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. While the beast and the false prophet shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. So there's coming a day. Their bunkers aren't going to save them. Their money that they make and just bring down countries and doing all these things to our children and this and that. There's coming a day that if they don't repent, they're going to have to pay for it. So what do? We leave vengeance in the hand of God because God sees it all. They go in these rituals and they go and do all this stuff and they think God doesn't see. In the Old Testament, said God doesn't see us. Oh, yes, he does. They think they have artificial intelligence. God is the all-knowing. They can't delete things. You can't delete anything from God. He sees it. He knows your beginning from your ending. He knows the thoughts that you think. They want to know the thoughts you think. They want to control your every move. Artificial intelligence. Why? Because the devil wants to be like the Most High God. But guess what? He never will be. But we stand before God for every word that comes out of our mouth. And that's why today I just said, Lord, I just remember some bad things. I just repent again. Even though you repented, sometimes you're like, I'm just so thankful I'm saved. I'm just so thankful that I'm saved. I was walking on a path. I thought I was walking with you. And I got led down some areas that weren't of you because of the tares that led us astray. They're not going to lead you to the real Jesus. They're not going to lead you to the real gospel. They're going to have to take you and bring you into these other movements, the prosperity gospel. And then if you're not prosperous, what do you have? Shame and guilt. And then you leave the church because it didn't work for me. The formula didn't work for me. Well, God isn't a formula. Seven steps to write your own ticket with God. Seriously? That's what we were taught. That's what we believed. No, we don't write our own ticket with God. We believe that God has us in his hands. Amen? So, Father, we thank you that today you're speaking to us through your Son. And we thank you, Lord, that you are not deaf. You see everything that's going on. You have a perfect timing. And you're allowing these evil things to happen. But they're setting their own judgment. And they think they're getting away with it. But as you said in Revelations 20, that they're going to day and night be tormented. They want to wear out the saints. They want to wear us down. They want us all full of fear. But Father, you said in your word to fear not. So I pray for all of us that we don't fear, that we face these end times with boldness and courage. We're warriors of the cross, that whatever you ask us to do, we're going to do it. Because you give us the strength, you give us the courage in these hard times that we face, we do it with you. We're not alone. We're not lovers of ourselves. But we thank you, Father. You said you'd never leave us. You're not going to forsake us. Look at the birds. You take care of them. You're going to take care of us. And we got to constantly stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And those that endure to the end, those that abide under the pressure, those that stay and abide with you, shall be saved. So thank you for the strength to endure in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison, her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.